2 back surgeries this week, and I'm not quite able to stand a long time. So you didn't care I sat down, did you? Okay. Can you hear me? Okay. I've got a story to tell, a beautiful, exciting, and wonderful story of our history, God working with us. And I'd like to start it with, in the beginning, God. That's it. If I never said another word, that'd be enough. In the beginning, God. And so I want to go back to the very beginning of our church that most of you don't know, even those that were in Macon E. Back in the 44, there was a family called J.W. Andrews. And he was Joe's, my husband's uncle. He was Reggie Andrews' father. And they got together, a few people just hungry for a spiritual church. They just wanted to be with God, and they couldn't seem to find it. And they said, let's just get together and in our living rooms, and let's just try to teach the word to each other and ask God for help, that he could bring us a spiritual church. So in the 44s, they went to J.W. Andrews' living room and went from living room to living room, Reggie's living room, and that's when our church really started. God honored it, and he blessed it. Our scripture today, as we celebrate our 23rd anniversary, is, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So important. God's got a job for all of us. He wants us to do it. And God's plan is our mission, the kingdom of earth like the kingdom of heaven. I want to explain that to you. When you were born, before you were ever born, God knew who you were. He knew he was going to send you to earth. He knew what he wanted you to do. He had plans all made just for you. So in your little package, he put your talents, and he said, now I want you to go down, and I want you to make the kingdom of earth like the kingdom of heaven. That's your job, and your job, and your job. Not my job, to do your job. You got to do your own job. Make the kingdom of earth like the kingdom of heaven. Wherever I place you, you're going to be held responsible for that. You're going to have to answer to me later, did you do that? Make the kingdom of earth like the kingdom of heaven. So we started in that little church, and God said, you know what God guides, he provides.
Amen.
Get used to that, you're going to be hearing it. What God guides, God provides. And when the church outgrew the little living rooms, they had to do something about it. And God says, son, we got to do something about it. So I want you to go out there to Wheeler Heights, and I want you to pick up an army chapel that I got out there, and I want you to move it to Lackey Drive. God's in control. Always in control. Always knows what he's doing. And they moved, Ann's either father or grandfather or whatever, went out there and got that army chapel and moved it to Lackey Drive. Now, the interesting thing about Lackey Drive, the neighbors didn't always want us, but we had a great place to start. And so anyway, one of my neighbors told me, the neighbors on Lackey Drive, Ann said, you know, I love the music, and I love the good-looking preacher, and I love the swimming hole after church was over. Because in the basement of that church, it had never been finished, and it was full of water. And the kids would come in and break a window and come in and swim when that church was first put there. It was a mess, but God honored that church, and it was beautiful. All right, then to go on with our story. I don't know exactly, well, since the 40s. In the 50s, Joe and I came into the picture. When I was just a little girl, I was going to a Nazarene church. I was probably 5 or 6 years old, and they had an altar call, and I went forward, and I gave my life to God. I came back, and I cried, and I cried, and I cried, and I cried. But I meant it then, and I meant it every day of my life since.
Amen.
Every day of my life since. And Joe, at the same time, was down in Macon, Georgia. He was just a little boy, and God looked down and said, now I'm going to choose him, and I'm going to choose her. So he brought him to the altar when he was 8 years old, and he said, Joe, I want you to preach. And he said, okay, God, I'll preach. We grew up far apart, but happened to go to the same college. God's in control. What God guides, he provides. And we were, both of us loved drama. He was studying to be a preacher. I was studying to be a teacher. And I graduated first because he was very ill when he was 7 years old, almost died. I missed a year of school. So I graduated, we got married in June, and this little church down on Lackey Drive said, Joe, will you come? Will you help us build this little church. Rayburn Smith was their first pastor, who had a large funeral home in Warner Robins. So Joe and I talked it over and decided that's what we would do. We would move down here. Joe could finish at Mercer. He went ahead and got his doctor's degree, but we wanted to help this little church, our very first beginning, the beginning of our world, the beginning of our world. The church grew and grew and grew. We had to knock out a wall, and they grew some more, and we had to knock out another wall till we couldn't knock out any more walls. And Joe said, honey, we're going to have to do something else. We're going to have to go and find another place. What God guides, God provides. Corey, if you don't ever hear another word I say here, I'm going to drive that home to everybody. What God guides, he provides. And God did provide. He gave us some property on Jordan Lake Road, right next to the interstate. And it was 25 acres of land on a beautiful pecan grove. Oh, it was beautiful pecan grove. And it was a huge field where kids could play ball out on that property. We were thrilled to get this property. It was a fabulous piece of property. And God helped us to build a church. I can't go into all these details because I got too much to tell you. But we ended up on that property. We had 5 buildings. We had an elementary school. We had a huge church seating 800 to 900 people. We had a high school and a middle school building. We had a cafeteria in the back. Huge, because we did something different in that church. We fed the people who came to He Touched Me. They came and lined up at 4:30 trying to get in, and they were hungry. So they'd have somebody hold their place in line, and they'd run down the cafeteria and eat, and then go back and get in line waiting for the place to open. It was beautiful, and it was furnished with, you know, real equipment, like in a real cafeteria. And then we had a 2-story building just for He Touched Me. That's how big it was. It's huge, huge. He touched me over in that church. But anyway, God blessed and had all of that happen for us, and we were so thrilled, and there's so many, many stories that I can tell you that, about that, but I'm going to choose just a few. It's just some outstanding ones that I want to share with you. First of all, Joe wanted a school. He wanted a Christian school so bad. I had a degree to teach, and he had a doctor's degree. He could do that. So he said, well, I want a school. I want a Christian school. I said, okay. I always had a way of saying, okay, whatever he said. And so he said, now how are we going to do it? Well, we were praying, and what God guides, God provides. A young boy came into Joe's office, and Joe said, Walter Banks was his name. Maybe some of you know him. And he came in, and he said, Walter, do you know, Joe loved football. Oh, he was a football fiend. And he loved it. And he said, do you know any place where we can get some football players? Walter said, mm-hmm. I know some. So Walter went out, told his friends, there's a school over there who wants a football team. God was going to use that to get the kids to come to school. He can use any way he wants to get his will done. They told somebody else, and they told somebody else, and before long, it was the day to open school. We had our teachers, we had our equipment, we had everything. And Joe said, Wilma, what have we done? And we got there, over 300 students started out in Chapel Hill Academy. God was God, God guides, mm-hmm. God provides. It's so beautiful, the story of that school. It was kindergarten through 12. We started there, Joy taught in the school. And some of the others here taught in the school. But it was a fabulous experience. I loved it. I taught Bible, 9, 10, and 11, 12 grades. And everybody had to take it. And I was in heaven getting to teach the Bible to all these kids. Because these kids, that's back in the drug days when they were just starting. They came to school on drugs. They came to school because they got kicked out of high school. They don't take anybody in. He didn't care who they were. He just take them in. And he loved them. And I was called Mom. They never called me Ms. Andrews. It was a family-type school. We could never reproduce it again. It was absolutely fabulous. I was Mom, and Joe was, of course, he had self. But everywhere, we prayed, we had revival, we had the kids saved. One time I said, bring all your backmasking records, that was big at that time, bring all your drugs, bring all the sin in your life, we're going to have a huge bonfire, and we're going to burn your sin. And we did, and it was just marvelous how God worked at that school to get the kids saved. To this day, the kids will tell you that's the happiest time of their school life. And when I had to go back to public school, from there, it was like going from heaven to hell. I couldn't believe how wonderful it had been and how awful public school is today. And believe me, it's awful. It's really bad. I mean, thanks, Brooke. She's an angel. She's just perfect for the school. All right? And then the next thing I want to share with you that happened during that time is the wreck. Joe and I had been at the Macon Evangelistic Church for 40 years. 40 years from that little church to the big church that it was. And everything was seemed to be going wonderful. It looked great. My daughter called and she said, "Mama," and she began to tell a serious problem that she had. And she was crying. I couldn't console her. And I handed the phone to Joe's hoping that he could console her. And I heard Joe say these words, "Honey, hang in there. I feel like soon something is going to happen." Never did we dream the world that was ahead of us just not far away. We took her out for her birthday, took them all back home, and was coming down I-75, and our church, Macon Evangelistic Church, was right on I-75. There was the church, there was a fence, and there was I-75. They were just back to back. And he wanted to come down and check on the church. He always loved checking on the church. He lived at the church. In fact, he had a little thing he said one day. He said, "If you want me to come and see you, I've got a paper out there in the vestibule. Sign your name." Well, I went out and signed my name. That's how much he was wonderful to go to the hospital, wonderful to go to people's homes. He just loved being a pastor of that church, and we loved our work there. Well, anyway, he was going down I-75, and they were going to put the third lane on I-75, and where there were two lanes, it would completely down drop off into the lower level. And we hydroplaned, and we went off that road down. And the car behind us was, guess what? What God guides, he provides. Two paramedics married to each other right behind us. And he said, "You turned over end 4 or 5 times." We weren't belted in. And we got the car on the other side. It was like, this is the highway. And our car was like this, just in Joe out the window halfway. And when the people saw that, they went running to the car, and the men held the car up so it wouldn't crush him until an ambulance could get there and help could get there. Well, there's a long story, but it's part of it I've got to tell you, and that's this. They thought I was worse than Joe. I remember waking up, and my back hurt. And I remember crying out, "Hold my back. Hold my back." And some paramedic got in that back window somehow, managed to, because I was down. My head was down at the brake. My feet were up the passenger side window. So we were like this. And I felt a hand go underneath my back and held my back the whole time, which was a long time, because they couldn't get me out. They had to call, is it the jaws of death or jaws of life? Which is it?
Jaws of life.
Jaws of life. To cut the drug apart and try to get me out. Well, when they did, they thought I was worse than Joe. But I wasn't. And I remember hearing, my back was broken in several places, but the paramedic told me later, he said, "You had hair on your scalp, but you had no scalp on your head." So I said, "You could have not told me that." I could have lived without knowing about that. But anyway, the story I want to tell you is this. Joe was in the hospital. He was unconscious 2 months, intensive care 3 months in a week, hospital 159 days, 53 pints of blood. I saw him put blood in him over here, and I saw it going out over here. It was unbelievable. But the second day I got out of the hospital, I was sitting beside him in a wheelchair, and I stayed with him from around 10 to 6 every single day in the medical center, except that first day I got out of the hospital. And that's one reason I think I'm crooked today, because sitting there in a brace for hours, you kind of do this. And that's the way I go back. And I never, ever stood up straight again when they took my brace off. I never stood up straight again. But I'd do it again in a heartbeat if I had to. I just want him to hear my voice. I want him to know, to live, to fight, to live, because he was unconscious this 2 months. But the part I want to share with you is he had an experience when he died, and I want you to please listen, because it happened. Okay? He said, "Wilma," he said, "I went to heaven. I went somewhere." And he said, it was just the most beautiful green grass. Beautiful green grass. is not like earth grass. It was almost like it had life in it, light in it. It was just, he couldn't get over the grass. And he said, there was Jesus about 10 foot in front of me. Well, you know me. I said, Joe, what did he look like? You know, I had to find out all the facts. And he said, well, he was about 6 foot two or three, had auburn brown hair, parted in the middle, came only to shoulder length. It wasn't long like a lot of pictures have him. And I said, Joe, what did he have on? And he said he had a white robe, an iridescent white robe that came down in folds on the side. And then all of a sudden, he wasn't there, but just very short, that he felt love, warm, liquid love, just baptizing all from his head to his toe. And he was back in his body. A few weeks later, on his mother's birthday, he died again. The doctor said he died 6 times. One doctor said 10 times. That's a lot of dying, right? But what God guides, he provides. Okay? And so the second time, he went to heaven again. Same place. Now, I want you to understand, he didn't see a city. He didn't see walls. He didn't see houses. He didn't see people. All he saw the first time was Jesus. The second time, his mother and daddy, who had been full-time evangelists all his life, came walking up to Jesus. They died in their 80s. And I said, Joe, how old were they? How old did they look? And he said, about 30. He about that. We're not going to get old. I can tell my age in heaven. I'm not going to get old. But anyway, Jesus was standing in front of him about 10 foot again, and there was his mother and daddy, and they were just talking to Jesus, looked like in their 30s. And then he said all of a sudden he felt this same warm, liquid love go from his head to his toe, and he was back in his body again. They thought his brain would be bad that time. He stayed gone so long, but God took care of the brain. But that's not the end of the story. He was in the hospital, Macon Hospital, from October to the 2nd of January. Then he went to Vencore Hospital, where they send you to die, just keep you till you die. God got him out of there in about 2 weeks. And then he went to the hospital in Atlanta, where they help you with paralyzed people. Yeah, Spinal Shepherd Center. Now, what you don't use, listen to me, this is good advice. What you don't use, you lose. What did I just say? What you don't use, you lose. And he couldn't move. He couldn't even open his eyes. He couldn't even move his fingers. He'd been unconscious 2 months. He'd lost it all. And they had to teach him one thing at a time to move, to function again. And they gave him some medicine. And the medicine had terrible side effects. And he couldn't sleep. And he, weak as he was and sick as he was and not sleeping for nights was a horrible thing to happen to him. And finally, about the fifth or sixth night, he looked up at the clock, and he saw what time it was. And all of a sudden, he looked to his right, beside his bed, by his knee, right knee, and there stood Jesus, exactly like he looked in heaven. And Joe went, shoo, fast asleep. It was wonderful that he got to go to heaven to see Jesus. People, listen to this. But when the little preacher man couldn't sleep, Jesus came to earth to see Joe. That's our Lord. That's our Savior. That's the one who's helping us to build our church. Okay, and then I want you to know, one other thing I wanted to share you with this is how God told us to pray. You know, we were praying. They had even the Catholics having Mass over Joe. They were praying in Mexico for Joe. Prayer went out. The church that we were in, Macon Evangelistic, prayed every single night. We were in a hospital until we got out of the hospital. Every single night. Prayer was going up. God's prayer was wonderful. But God shows me visions. And I've seen him ever since I've been a little girl. And I saw this vision. And I was sitting there by his bed. And I was just seeing that blood go through him. And see the blood go through him. And see the blood go through him. And he was asleep and he couldn't move. And I was praying. And God had told me, don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. As Abraham of old, I will get my glory. And believe me, God got his glory. They had a TV. They had it in the newspaper. They talked it. They followed it. And even to the end where he got better, they were following the story. God was getting his glory. But one thing he taught me was so important that I got to share. Many things he taught me, but one I'm going to share. He gave me a vision. And the vision was an old, carved, wood bank. This is like that. Not the whole bank, just this one section where you go up to the bank and catch a check. And I was to go in the vision up to it was old carwood, and it reminded me of the cowboy days. You know how you looked in the cowboy, they had that old carwood? And there was, on that ledge of the bank, was a piece of paper. And in the paper, "Dear Wilma," and it was signed Jesus. And in the vision, he said to me, "Wilma, I only meet your needs today." In other words, don't pray for tomorrow's needs. I only promised you today. That's all I promised you. So what I want you to do, I want you to write your needs for today. I've signed it. Cash it. It's good. Please remember that.
Amen.
God says, come to him with your need, but only today's need. Today's need may go on other times, but just concentrate on today. And I went over to Joe's bed, and I would say, "Father, I received Joe's healing today." Next day, "Father, I received Joe's healing today." And I saw a dead man walk.
Amen.
I saw a dead man walk. So that's just some of the things I'd like to tell you. Now let's go on. Oh, we got a story now. We got a story. We decided that we had to have Joe resign. He was so sick when he took the church back, and he's so weak, he felt like he couldn't do it, and he resigned. And when he resigned, it was kind of hard on a lot of the people because they loved him. And so he sold Meemaw's house as his mother, and he sold, and he got a big camp, a van, what do you think, did you ride in?
Trevor.
Yeah, okay, you know what I'm talking about, motorhome. And he said, "Now I'm going to travel, and I'm going to go to church." And they were calling him like crazy because they wanted to hear his story about going to heaven and back. Atlanta church, a huge church in Atlanta, about 3,000 people called him to come and tell his story. And I got to tell it too when we went there. But it was just, God has just opened up churches like crazy. They wanted to hear that story. And Joe was going to do it. And some of the people came into him and said, "Joe, will you start a Bible study?" And Joe said, "Well, I can't. I've got all these churches." They said, "Joe, just start a Bible study." And after a while, he said, "We can do it on Thursday night. It won't hurt any church. It won't interfere with any service anywhere. Just let's have a Bible study together." And Joe agreed to it. And so they came to my house. And I got a big living room. But here they came. And they came. And they came. And we had the most fun you've ever seen. We loved it. It was so good. And guess what? Cooking. Woo! Homemade cooking. We never had a service we didn't have homemade cooking.
Amen.
Not one, Corey. Amen. The whole time. The whole time. In my house to this building.
Yeah.
I don't remember a single service that we didn't have homemade cooking. Isn't that great? We had
Amen.
Fun. God loves to have fun.
Amen.
Amen. He's not serious all the time. He loves to have fun. Okay. So then we started on our new church. And we were asking him, said, "God, we got to get out of here. There's 60 people in my living room." But before that, I want to tell you this. Joe had kept saying no to pastoring a church because he really felt like he wanted to be out. And finally, here's the story how it turned. There was an older gentleman that was sitting in Joe's chair, and his name was Ollie Goins. You remember him? How many remember Ollie Goins? Yeah, a lot of you remember Ollie Goins. He was a sheriff, wasn't he, for a long time here in Macon. And he was sitting in that chair, and he leaned back, and Joe had said no up to now. And he said, "Joe, I don't have a church, and I don't have a pastor. Joe, will you be my pastor?" And Joe looked at me, "Help." I shook my head, "Yes, let's do it." Mm-hmm. And he said, "Yes," and that's how this church was born. Okay, this is the beginning, this particular part of the church growing. Okay, and our song was "Bind Us Together, Bind Us Together." We probably never had a service that we didn't sing that. Many times holding hands to do that. And Joy, she came out and said, "Joe, I'll keep the kids in the kitchen so that you can have a quiet Bible study in your living room." There was so much of it. Ashley, is Ashley here today? She was the first baby. And I know how old the church is because what's your birthday? She's 23 years old now. So you can always remember her birthday. I said, "When were you born?" Because that's when the church was born. We carried her around in our arms in my house as a little tiny baby. So anyway, then we had to get out of there. And we had to do something. So we said, "God," he said, "What? God guides, God provides." What did he say? What did he say? Oh, that's what I thought he said. Many, many times did he tell us that story. Okay, so we began to look. Now, we had a man named, well, Ollie Goins would help start the church, but Wayne Green. How many remember Wayne Green? He was a card if there ever was one. Oh, my goodness. He was a card. Vivian and Wayne, get them together and you haven't got a chance. Oh. Vivian was so much fun in the church. She had all the parties and had all the time when we could get together, and we just had such a wonderful time together. But Wayne was something else, and he was a real estate man. So Daryl and Wayne got together and started looking for property. And Wayne came down Lackey Drive, and he saw this dairy farm. We were a dairy farm. And he said, and it said, for sale. Heathrow. I'm sorry. What did I say? Heathrow. I'm sorry. And he said, for sale. And he came back. I found a place on Heathrow. It's a dairy farm. Isn't God original? There's nothing boring about God, is it? And we checked it out, and it had a white house, and it had a huge fenced-in backyard, and it had it had a lot of cows, but the cows had been sold. They had still had one horse, and they had goats. Still had goats. Remember the goats? That was so funny. And anyway, the man was going to die. There was one to sell the property, and he wanted to sell the property before he died. Yearwood was their name. And so we bought the property. We were so thrilled to buy the property. And we had all kinds of good things to buy. But first of all, I want to tell you about the house. It was an old house, farmhouse. It had a living room, three bedrooms, a kitchen, and a bathroom. Our boys went in there, and they tore out wall, and they made two of the bedrooms the church. And now we had a pretty good-sized church. We had one Sunday school class, because that's the last bedroom. We put that in Sunday school class for adults and let the kids have the main room. And it was just wonderful. It was just absolutely wonderful. And so we had church there for, I would say, two or three years in that house. And I want to tell you one more quick thing. We had lots of trees back here. And the boys said, let's cut the trees and make money. I said, uh-uh. I've been down there. I see a wonderful park where we can worship. Oh, no, we got to cut the trees. We need the money. Uh-uh. You know how husbands and wives do. Well, guess what I did? They came down to see about cutting the trees, and I was here by myself, and I said, we're not going to cut the trees. And I didn't tell them for a long, long time. And my son, who was buildings and houses and has lots and lots of equipment, went back there and cleared out this whole lot, which he needed a lot to clear out. He went back into that place that I wanted to be my church, and he made that into a beautiful, beautiful place. I spent years planting flowers and watering them, making a garden. And I want you to know something. My heart's desire is, let's get our garden back. Because that's where God was. If you wanted to be close to God, you just went down and got sit in the garden in the swing and prayed and studied. And somebody, was it you that came all at lunchtime? Somebody came at lunchtime and just gave their lunch period just to be with God in the garden. We had church down there. We had parties down there. Families could go there and have their own private parties. It was a fabulous place to go. The youth could go there. It was just a fun place to go, and it was beautiful. I'm telling you, it was beautiful, and we loved it. Well, the very last service that Joe preached in was in that garden. Okay, so I wanted to tell you about it. And by the way, the boys have been down there. Joe and Donna have been down there, and I see a garden coming up. I feel it coming up from the ground, and I hope I get to see it before I go to heaven. I hope we can get it back, because you're going to love that place down there. Okay. So then let me go on now. Wayne Green found the lot, and it was a farm, and the owners, I've got to skip spaces here, don't I? Okay, what's next, God? What's next? And God said, I'm going to give you a church. I'm going to give you a sanctuary. I'm going to honor your prayers. What I guide, I will provide. And God began to work. So what did we do? On October the 14th, 1999, we registered a nonprofit organization. In January of 98, we secured the deed. We borrowed $200,000. We spent $152,500 on putting the building up. Now we had a building. We got in it. And I'm telling you, folks, the church people worked. They worked. If you call it a work day, huge crowds of people would come. They didn't always know what they were doing, but they came. And together we built all that you see back in there. That was the first part of the church, and we built it back there. A zoning compliance came on April the 25th, 1999. And that's when we were ready to move, after the zoning came down. And Joe went to Joe and Daryl's house, and they had to have some plans. So Daryl drew the plans, and he functioned as the business manager of the entire project because he worked at the bank. He knew how to do all of that, and he functioned as that, and he had all the plans ready to go, and buddy, we went. And we had so much fun doing that, building the church. So groundbreaking was April 1999. When did we break ground?
April 1999.
When? I want you to remember that, okay? April 99, we broke the ground. We had 10,000 square feet of building downstairs that was finished. Okay, well, I guess that's all of it. And we had 2,500 feet upstairs, and we were ready to go. We put the insulation in, and Eric Palmateer, he's here tonight, he was learning to be a carpet layer. And Joe said, Eric, will you come and lay our carpet? And Joe was a carpet man. He sold carpet on the side. He knew quality carpet. He knew I could get it wholesale. He went up there to Dalton, got the carpet, brought it back, and Eric put it in. He did a wonderful job, which we appreciate. And then it was time to move in, and we did. What a time. But we needed there's a white house out there. It had to go. We had to tear it down, and how sad it was to watch it go. But we, Charles and Catherine McEwen bought the house and said, we want to take it to our house, attach it to our house, so we would ever have that house as our house. Well, his son-in-law came to move it. He didn't know what he's doing. When they took the roof off, it just kind of, just kind of went apart. But there was one section of it was new on the house. That was where we were worshiping. So they got to move that section into the McEwen house, attached it to the house, and that was their bedroom. And he bragged, as long as he lived, I got to sleep in the church. I got to sleep in the church. And he was thrilled about that. And then I want to go on. The pews, they raised money all kinds of ways. How much time we got? We're going to have to soon quit. But they raised the money for the pews. Every pew was paid for by the people. It never came out of the treasury. The people always pay for things. What God guides. Wow. He provides. He produced the money for the people to pay it. That's the way God does, and that's the way he works. But then it came time that, and this was just a shell. It was not finished. Just a shell. And Joe would come in, and he would sit in a chair, and he'd dream. When am I going to get to preach my first sermon? Oh, how wonderful. I've been back there 4 years in the kitchen having church. He said, I hope I can preach my first sermon. And God said, the auditorium, Joe, is going to be full. Wilma, God said the auditorium is going to be full. We decided that Sunday night to go down and have service in the park, which we did every once in a while. And Joe got up to preach. He said the closing prayer. And it was a prayer with no amens. He never said amen at the end of the prayer. That was on Sunday night. On Monday night, God came and got him and took him to heaven. This time he didn't come back. And that was another whole story. And they buried him on Saturday, and then we needed a preacher fast. We needed somebody fast. John Whitehead, is he here? John Whitehead was our assistant pastor. He stepped in, and he became the pastor of the church. And he's pastored it, how many years?
8 years.
8 years. So, and that was wonderful that he got to do that, but God was still working. Now I want you to see something. Well, follow me just a minute. There was a little boy. I bet he was cute as he can be. Living in a home that didn't teach him about Jesus. Didn't take him to church. Didn't let him know the world that was going on in heaven. Didn't make him realize the reason he was born. But God knew he was born for a reason. And God began to work in that little boy's life. He took him out of that home and he put him in his grandmother's home. And then the grandmother lived named close to a lady called Miss Lee. Miss or Mrs.?
Miss.
Miss Lee.
Mrs.
Okay, well, we're going to call her Miss Lee.
Yeah.
And he said, I know you're going to church, can I go with you? And she picked him up. And she started taking this little boy to church. And she began to mentor him and teach him about Jesus and help him to grow. In fact, she actually, when you became a preacher, she helped ordain you, right?
She was on the council.
Yeah, okay, on the council to ordain him. And that little boy was still a teenager. He grew up to love God. He began to hear God. He heard his voice. He knew that he was special because God had chosen him. But what was he going to be chosen for? What was God's plan? Well, we decided we needed a youth director. We lost our youth director, and we called him. God just said, that's the man. Call him as your youth director. And he came as youth director. Okay? How many years? 5 years you were youth director, right? 5 years he helped the youth. But a year after he got here, we needed him as assistant associate director, preacher, pastor. So he was made our associate pastor. He came in 2007, associate pastor in 2008. And then we had a problem. Our pastor wanted to resign. He felt the need to resign. He had other things that he felt God wanted him to do. So he resigned. He resigned when we didn't expect it. We came to church not knowing that he had resigned yet. And I'll never forget it, Corey. I'll never forget it. I was standing about where Jessica's sitting. And Corey came down the aisle. And he walked over to me. And he said, Wilma, what are we going to do? Corey, it's 20 minutes till 12. I mean, till 11. You got 20 minutes. You got to get up there. And 20 minutes, our coming pastor was up there preaching a sermon. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And the anointing of God came on him. And we had not only a good pastor, we had a businessman. We had a guy that knew how to control money. He knew how to love people. He knew how to choose a board that was absolutely fabulous. He had knowledge. He was young. He was just in his early 20s. But God had chosen him. See how important you are? See how important you are to God's kingdom? It doesn't matter what age you are. You're so important to God's kingdom. All right, I'm going to have to stop, but I've got to tell you one more story. Our time is up. But you got to hear this if I don't say anything else. Thank God for our pastor. Give him another hand. Look around, Corey. Corey, look around. Okay, let me tell you the story. This is a very, very important story that I'm going to tell you. God lets me see things. I've always been, I just see it in front of me. I just, like I'm seeing you right now, I see things. And so God was wanting to teach me a lesson. We were in the Macon Evangelist Church, the big church, and there was a little closet for the secretary. Just a little closet to put her papers and stuff in when they started building the building. And I said, Becky, can I have that closet? I want to make it a place to study and to pray. Sure, you can have the closet. I mean, it was little. I went in there and I had a few shelves at the end. I had a little desk with a little arm on it so that I could write and study. And I was teaching Sunday school, and I had about 60 in my class. And we had to go to the auditorium, and I had to do a lot of studying. And then a little altar. It's about that wide, Corey, just about that wide. And there's the end, and there was the wall. There's about that much between my feet and the door when I was sitting at the altar. I loved that place. It was where God and I met. It was super wonderful. And I remember one day I knelt at the altar to pray, and my hands started going up, and I didn't do it. I knew I wasn't doing it. And God's glory came all over me. I mean, just baptized me with his glory. And he said, get down. Okay, God don't have much room. I'll give you the best I can. And I got down, and he showed me the vision that he wanted me to have. And I saw a big circle about that big, and it had blue and green, and it was mixing just like oil. It never mixed together. It just kept roaming and roaming and roaming all around in that big circle. And I said, God, what are you saying? And he didn't tell me. But before I go on with the story, there's a beginning to this story. My mother was very ill, and I had to go see about her. And I was flying back from that trip when God spoke to me. I know my father's voice. I know my father's voice.
Amen.
And he said, Wilma, there's a secret hiding place, and I meant it for all of my children. Few have found it. Search for it. I said, God, if I haven't found it, I need to search. I don't know where it is. So I went, he said, Interstate, I'll give you one clue. Interstate Praise will take you there. That's the exact words he said. There's a secret hiding place. I'm in it for all my children. Few have found it. Search for it. Interstate Praise will take you there. Well, I came back home, and I was trying to teach my son's school how to praise. You know how we praise, you know, this kind of number. And I said, people, raise your hand. We're going to learn to praise the Lord. And it wasn't a while, the whole Sunday school class was learning to praise the Lord. And I was waiting for the next clue. What's the next thing? I got to know God to find the secret hiding place. A whole year went by, and he kept teaching us all every Sunday something that was important about praise. And then all of a sudden, that's when I went into the room, and I saw this picture and it of the blue and the green going mixed and all cut. And then it was gone. And I said, God, I don't know what you said. So I went back in, and the same thing happened. My hands went up, and God's glory came all over me. And he said, get down. And I got down. This time, I got down. And I wasn't worried about where it was going to be. I said, down. And then the vision came back. And I want you to see this, people. It's so important you see this. And it was a round circle. And it was a hole. And the hole went way down. It kind of turned to the right. Ooh, long hole. And I saw a light way down at the end of that hole go right in front of my face. It started again. That 4th of July. And then God said, you found it. I said, I found it. He said, you found the secret hiding place. And then he gave me instant understanding. Like, turn a light on in the dark room. Now listen to what he said. You got to hear this if you don't hear anything else. He said, Wilma, the secret hiding place is in you. It's inside of you. It's where I come to abide with you. It's where I come to be with you. Wilma, it's our time together to be alone. It's our time to just be one-on-one. It's our time when you don't ask for anything. You don't need anything. All you need is me. That's all you need is me. I want to come in and sup with you and you
Amen.
With me.
Amen.
I want to come in. And that was a scripture. Father said, Father, Jesus prayed to the Father, you know, when he was going to heaven. And Father, I want you to be in me and I in you, that I can be in them. Yeah. I can be in them. And he said, I want to be in you. Wilma, when you pray and you want intimate relationship with me, don't look up. I'm here. I'm here. Come in and sup with me and me with you. Oh, that was powerful. That was powerful. And so many of you said, I wish I had. I wish I had that experience. And I'm going to tell you how to find it. It's in here.
Amen.
In every one of you.
Amen.
You're not going to find it at a church. You're not going to find it at an altar. You're not going to find it anywhere else. If you want the best, make love to Jesus in here.
Amen.
I in you and you in me, that we might be perfect in one. Fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with him. It was like I've told you so many times. I'd go down to the altar and I'd say, Joe, I'll make the best wife you ever saw. I'll clean the house. That's good, honey. It's not enough. I'll raise your children to love God. I'll cook good meals. And I go on and on and on what I'll do for him. And each time he said, that's fine, honey, but that's not enough. And I say, Joe, what's enough? And he said, I just want you. And that's what Jesus is saying to you today as our church stands where it is. I just want you. Meet me inside your spirit. Come with me. Don't say anything except I love you. In fact, you don't have to say anything at all. Prayer is not words. Prayer is being with someone. Remember that. Just being with someone. So I want to tell you, I know we got to quit, but I got a wonderful, wonderful pastor that has wonderful news for the future of our church. And I want to introduce to you a very, very special person, Corey Moyer. And his wife. It's a wonderful preacher's wife. Wonderful preacher's wife.
Y'all give Wilma a hand. Come on. Good job. Thank you, man.